Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Terry. On today's show, host Elisa Breitenbach is back, and she'll have a discussion with Teresa Woody, Litigation Director, and Christina Ostermeyer, Communications and Digital Advocacy Director of Kansas Appleseed. Kansas Appleseed is a nonprofit network of 17 centers across the United States and Mexico dedicated to advancing justice and opportunities that help low-income people and working families have better lives. They'll be discussing the lawsuit that's been filed for Kansas children in foster care. Children in Kansas foster care face extreme housing instability, sometimes moved more than 50 to 100 times, and are deprived of critical mental health assessments and services. Stay tuned. During the show, you'll hear our programmers ask supporters of Jaws of Justice Radio to call in and or email to show us your support. We're all volunteers. Still, KKFI must broadcast the signal that reaches our listeners, and that costs money. We want to keep Jaws of Justice strong. Help us, please, and you can do this by phoning the toll-free number 888-931-0901 or use the online donation page kkfi.org/donate. You can view thank you gifts for the drive at kkfi.org. Thanks. Thank you so much, and let's hear our show.
Good morning, everybody. This is Elisa Breitenbach. I'm your host for today's show for Jaws of Justice, and I'm very honored today to introduce you to two of our guests from Kansas Appleseed. Welcome, Teresa Woody, the litigation director.
Hi, thanks very much for having us.
I'm thrilled to have you here. And Christina Altstemeyer, the communication digital advocacy director.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. We're really excited to chat with you about such an important issue. What's going on?
It is very important. Please share with us, the listening audience, what Kansas Appleseed is and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Kansas Appleseed is a nonprofit organization. We obviously are based in Kansas, and we are working because we believe that Kansans working together can build a state full of thriving, inclusive, and just communities. So we take a really multi-pronged approach to this. We have a litigation arm. We also do direct advocacy, so, you know, working in the Kansas State House, lobbying, but also engaging with communities to make sure that they harness their power, because people have the most power, truly, to really hold systems accountable and advocate for systemic change.
And apparently you guys are actually representing 7,600 children in state's custody right now here in Kansas?
Yes, we have a class action lawsuit that we filed in Kansas representing the children in foster care. As you probably heard, there have been some stories in the Star. Laura Bauer ran an investigative session in the Star.
And that was a whole week-long series called Throwaway Children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the foster care system in Kansas has been in free fall for some time, for many years, with kids who are just being absolutely thrown away. And we believe that if the state takes children into the system, the state has a responsibility for making sure that they're better off in the foster care system. And in this instance, in many many cases, they're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, after reading your lawsuit, it's pretty horrifying. Can you give the listening audience a few of the details of the 10 cases that you guys are representing that actually represents thousands of kids in the state of Kansas?
Sure. We have named plaintiffs who represent things that have happened and are continuing to happen to kids in the foster care system, children who have been placed 30, 50, 100 different times, night-to-night placements, which is where kids are basically couch surfing. They're dropped off at 10, picked up at 7, and don't really have a steady place to stay. There are still children staying in offices of the contractors for the foster care system, not going to school, not having the kind of mental health needs met, it's just a tragic situation for so many of those kids.
And one thing that can't be underscored enough is it is scientifically proven that each move a child experiences, that can be considered a traumatic event. So imagine that you're a child within the foster care system, within the state's custody, that is moving 30, 50, 100 times, as some of our plaintiffs have moved. Each of these represents a separate traumatic experience. And so you know that those experiences are going to have long-lasting detrimental effects. And our state's kids, frankly, deserve so much more than that.
Well, veteran foster children exhibit all kinds of really huge problems throughout their whole entire life, is what I understand. You want to talk about any of that?
Well, I think the system doesn't prepare kids to age out. It doesn't prepare them for life after foster care. The graduation rate from high school for foster kids, I think, is in the low 30%.
I think it was about 39% in the last fiscal year.
So, you know, most of these kids are leaving the foster care system without the skills they need and the trauma that they're experiencing through these multiple moves and no stable placements and the failure to get mental health treatment and assessments just contributes to that. And unfortunately, it also contributes to a lot of these children, once they leave the foster care system, they're extremely vulnerable. Some of them are subject to human trafficking and other just horrible outcomes.
Mm-hmm. And that falls on the state. These are children in the state's custody. These children have dreams and talent, and they're incredibly smart. I mean, they're just like any child that you meet. But when you're in the state's custody, as has been happening in Kansas, and you're not getting the services you need or the care that you need, the system's in free fall, and the outcomes have been, frankly, really horrible.
Well, actually, we understand that children that get thrown in foster care have attachment disorders, behavioral problems, mental health issues, increased substance abuse. If they're with their kinship, clearly they do much better. Do you have anything to say about any of that?
Well, certainly, one of the things that the system could do, and we hope will do, is to try to place kids with kin as opposed to strangers. And one of the things that's been sort of remarkably crazy about the system is that a foster parent in the Kansas system gets about $21 a day for that child's care. But if they're kin, they get $3 a day, which goes nowhere to really meeting a child's needs, and makes it really difficult for kinship placements.
Mm-hmm. And the state is working to increase kinship placements and family connections. They did do something. They implemented what's called the Family First Prevention Services Act as well, which is helping to make sure that families have more access to services to make sure children stay out of care in the first place, which is extremely important as well. So while there are some positive steps being made, we would like to see the outcomes be as drastic as they need to be. And we need to see more urgency in reforming the system as well. But basically, keeping a child within their family system, within their community, is going to have the most positive impacts for a child. One thing that, if you have a question about this later, I don't want to overstep, but one thing also that relates to this is how within the child welfare system, so often poverty is confused for neglect. And that's when you have children being pulled away from their families, being pulled away from their communities, going into this system that is broken and isn't providing them the services that they need, just because their family might be experiencing poverty. So that's one thing that the state also needs to do. The state of Kansas is reinvest in our safety net and reinvest in our families so that children are staying with their families where they belong, and having better outcomes overall.
And one of the things that you clearly see when the state cut the safety nets, you see that the number of kids going into foster care for neglect just expanded exponentially. If you look at the statistics from those years immediately after the safety nets were destroyed, mm-hmm. You see just this huge spike in kids going into the system, not for abuse, but for neglect.
And safety net, you're talking about help with funding for daycare and the SNAP program and different things as of that nature?
Yeah. So the safety net is all-encompassing, really, but specifically if we look at programs like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Child Care Assistance, or TANF, also known as Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, we have some statistics that we pulled where in less than 10 years, participation in SNAP decreased about 30%, participation in Child Care Assistance decreased 55.3%, and participation in Temporary Assistance for Needy Families decreased 74%. Now, these aren't because families don't need these services. It's because the state of Kansas made it harder and more restrictive for families to participate in these programs. These programs were hollowed out. They were cut, and they were pulled away from the families that were utilizing the services that really helped lift them out of their experiences with poverty. At the same time, in that same time period, the number of children coming into foster care has increased 43.5%. Research from KU saw a direct causal relationship between cutting the safety net and the number of children coming into care. So it's really, you can't deny this and what the state needs to do to be reinvesting in our families. Absolutely.
One of the most surprising things on the case with these children with the government in Kansas, the governor herself, Governor Kelly's lawyers, argued that she doesn't actually run the system and shouldn't really be sued. It's her job, and she needs to be held to accountability. We clearly know that foster care is much harder on children than staying with their own family members. And the greatest and most important solution we could ever do for children in America is to stop taking so many children needlessly in the first place. And over decades of abuse, it's nearly impossible to ever believe that we will ever see child protection services truly protect our children. And we see nothing that is working for this cause for years. I mean, what has ever been done over the last few years? I've been watching the system for almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. What has been done in the last 40 years to protect any of these children? I really want to know. And Governor Kelly ran on this issue.
She absolutely did. I'll let Teresa speak to the case around your first point about Governor Kelly filing a motion for dismissal from the case. And then we can also speak to systemic changes that have not happened, have been proposed, et cetera, as well.
Well, certainly we believe that the governor is ultimately responsible for the foster care system. You're right. She made that a key point of her campaign and her election. She has done a number of things directly with respect to the contractors in the state and taken other responsibilities that clearly show that she is very involved in the foster care system. If you look at their organizational charts, she is the top person at the top of the organizational charts for the foster care system. So we don't believe that she should be dismissed, and we will be filing our response to that motion, in fact, this week.
Yeah.
Has she done anything to make a difference? That's my question.
The state has been implementing changes. So if you saw, Secretary Howard actually had an editorial in the Topeka Capital Journal that I think came out just this weekend, highlighting some of the things that the state has been doing. So they've increased the number of social workers that the state has hired to help expand capacity. They've invested in Family First Prevention Services Act. They've been working on connecting more children with their family members. The problem is, and what we hold is, there's not enough being done to make sure that the children in care currently are getting the services that they need, as well as we're making sure that children are not coming into the system if they don't need to be in the system. And in addition to the administration, it really needs to be stressed that the Kansas legislature needs to be doing so much more than it has been. There is no urgency truly in the Kansas legislature to fix the system, and there's a whole lot that they could be doing as well.
Right. If you look at the recommendations that the Child Welfare Task Force made, the legislature adopted one of those, basically, which was to provide money for more social workers. But they have have ignored the bulk of the recommendations, and that is key. The legislature needs to be involved. It's not just the job of the governor or the secretary. It's the job of all Kansans, and that includes the legislature, to fix the system.
Of course.
One of the things, among many things, that we'll be working on and advocating for really hard in the legislature is what's called the Office of the Child Advocate. Currently, Kansas does not have one, but we're advocating for a bill that would create an independent, truly independent Office of the Child Advocate to provide real accountability and real oversight for the system. There are 13 other states, including Missouri, that have a similar model, and every study you find shows that true independence when it comes to oversight is necessary for a working foster care system. And so if folks are interested in Office of the Child Advocate, make sure that your legislators know, because we need this passed and we need it to get a hearing.
And it's really amazing, because the Office of the Child Advocate would be totally independent. It's not part of the system of DCF or the child welfare system. It'll be outside of it to actually take into account what's really happening.
And it's not like the ombudsman that you had years ago, almost 30 years ago, from Donna Whiteman. We're going to take a little break, because today's a special day for Jaws of Justice and KKFI. Today we're having our pledge drive for KKFI. All our shows are brought to you because of the public, because of your support, because of your money. Those of us that host these shows do this out of our true commitment for justice for all, and we cannot do without your support. So please kindly think about supporting KKFI and Jaws of Justice. We really appreciate you. We love the kids and our families we support, and we really need your help. Thank you for tuning in to our show, Jaws of Justice. Today we are here with Kansas Appleseed, who is taking on the governor of Kansas and trying to clean up the mess that we have children in Kansas living in and the foster care system. It's important that you know, every 2 minutes in the United States, a child goes to foster care. Every 2 minutes, a child's life is turned and in a different direction. More than 430,000 children and youth are in foster care at any given day. And nationally, about 83 of all the child abuse and neglect investigations result in a finding of unfounded or unsubstantiated. This means that even after the obvious phony calls are weeded out, only one report in six involves any kind of abuse and neglect. A lot of families are turned upside down with these people, and there's no one overseeing what is going on. Even the governor is turning a blind eye, and this is why these kids are called invisible children. And here we are today. I would love to just see what Appleseed is working on for these children.
Well, as we've mentioned, we've got the lawsuit trying to, basically the big challenge is to correct placement instability, these terrible placement problems where kids are being moved up to 100 times or more, and to provide mental health assessment and treatment for them.
And I believe that I read in one of these cases, a little boy had been moved 130 times.
It's astronomical.
Yeah.
And here's the real thing that we want to make sure doesn't get lost in all of this. The kids that are in the system now, we've talked about some of the things the state is doing to try to keep kids from coming into foster care, and that's great. But the kids who are in the system now need our support right now. And one of the things that Kansas Appleseed wants to make sure doesn't happen is that these kids don't get lost in the system. There are 7,600 kids in the system today, and we want to make sure that they're cared for. There's been kind of a rumor going around, or a story that's being told, about the fact that juvenile justice reform has somehow sent a flow of kids into foster care, and that is absolutely not true. In fact, since the juvenile justice reforms in Kansas, the number of kids coming into foster care for their own behaviors has gone down every year. So there's a myth going around that somehow the juvenile justice system has flooded the foster care with troubled children. That's not correct. The system causes troubled children, and we need to address their needs.
Absolutely. We cannot let false narratives go unchecked. When we talk about the children in our state, the children and state services, we need to be looking out for the best interests of all children. We talked about the highly traumatic rate of moves, the inadequate access to mental health services. We know that the system is extremely overburdened. As I mentioned, there's been a 43.5% increase of children coming into care in less than the last 10 years. The system's absolutely broken, and that's causing trauma for children.
But it looks like it's way far more than just broken.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so when children have behavioral needs, we need to make sure that the state is doing every single thing that it can to meet the needs of the children and not the needs of the system. These are our state's kids, and we need to be looking out for them. And so what my colleague Teresa mentioned about the narrative of the juvenile justice reforms, also known as Senate Bill 367, it actually put Kansas on the leading edge of reform. Kansas used to have one of the most punitive juvenile justice systems, where children who were not being adjudicated were being held in Kansas Department of Corrections custody or detention facilities, essentially criminalizing children who were really children in need of care, who had behavioral needs, who had needs that needed to be fulfilled, but they weren't being treated as such. And so the narrative that is being spun is that these juvenile reforms maybe are what are contributing to some of the problems that are happening in the child welfare system. The problems in the state's child welfare system go back much farther. They go back to the state's ripping and stripping of the safety net. They go back to confusing neglect with poverty. And so we need to make sure that we're investing in the right reforms for the right reasons, and we're not scapegoating children. Because whether a child is considered to have high behavioral needs or not, these are our state's kids, and they're our state's responsibility.
And we don't address those behavioral needs by putting them back into jail.
Well, and what I find shocking is that these children, no matter who they are, they are more likely to be abused in foster care. They are more likely to need to do drugs to cope with life. They are more likely not to graduate or get a GED or go to college. They are more likely to be sex trafficked. They are more likely to have PTSD than any of our war victims. And they are 6 times more likely to die than if they stayed in the abusive situation. Those are horrifying statistics. Horrifying. And it makes no sense. And basically, I think the case for foster care reform is written in stone in cemeteries. And it's been said. But now they're saying abolish what we have now because there's nothing there to work with. I hope that Appleseed will be part of a great solution because we have seen nothing for children and families in this state.
Well, Kansas Appleseed is dedicated to trying to fix this system. It's dedicated to systemic change for the Kansas foster children. And if you're out there listening and you're interested in what you can do to help, because it takes not only a village, it takes a state. So if you're interested, please go to kansasappleseed.org and take a look at what we're doing. We'd love to have you at Lobby Day tomorrow. We'd love to have you support the bill for the Office of Child Advocacy. We'd love to have you support the fact that children in need with behavioral needs should not be put into jail.
Absolutely. And I think when we look at the state agencies, when we look at the governor's office, the state legislature, the social workers, advocates, folks in their communities, those who have experienced or touched the foster care system, the goals are all the same. We want our state's children to be as safe as possible and to be able to thrive. But we need to make sure that we are doing enough and taking as much on as possible as a state to make sure that that's possible. We can't be shy when it comes to investing in our kids, as we all know they're our future. And what that's going to take is a extremely comprehensive approach. So, yeah, I just want people to know that if you're angry and frustrated, that's okay. Anger and frustration can be such a beautiful thing and such a catalyst for change. So harness your power, speak up, and, you know, there's so much that you can do to make sure that the foster care system is working for our state's kids.
We are having to wrap up today, and I'm so sad about it because I just think there's so much more that we need to say. We do have a Facebook page for Jaws of Justice. I will be on that Facebook page sharing more information. I hope you join me there, and I hope that you share the information with your family and friends, because the children of Kansas truly need more voices and more people to make a difference for them and for the state. I thank you all for joining us on Jaws of Justice today.
Sitting here in my problem, what am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it? Some way, somehow. Well, maybe I'm not supposed.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. You can always listen to us live and find our podcasts on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. If you have a show idea or want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. This is Jamie reminding you our outro music is Better Man from the Playing for Change CD.